David found a pension that his staff would love. He chose NatWest Cushion because it has a fantastic app that is easy to use. Everyone feels good, except David. He is ecstatic. Take a little more action with a NatWest Cushion workplace pension. Tomorrow begins today. Search NatWest Cushion. Capital at risk.
What's up, everybody? My name is Kelsey Gannett. I am the retired athlete coach. I wanted to talk today about what happens after you break up with someone. So a little bit of context into my journey. I was 23 and living in a completely different state from my whole family and completely, totally in love with the person that I was dating. I thought we were going to get married. I thought everything was going to be sunshine and roses and everything was going to be exactly what I wanted. And then unfortunately, about 6 months before we broke up, my partner experienced a life-altering trauma. And I spent about a month or two living in the ICU with him and making sure that he was able to recover and do all the things. And then about 3 months after that, we unfortunately decided to go our separate ways. So it was an incredibly overwhelming time for me, not only because I was losing my partner, but I was also, I felt like losing myself. So during the time that I was caretaking for my partner, I felt, you know, all of my needs had kind of gone to the wayside. I stopped really prioritizing any of my normal routine or anything else that we needed. And so when he decided that we were no longer together, I felt this immediate sense of extreme loss because I was so frustrated because I had done all of this work to help him recover. I had reinvented my whole life. I had moved myself to a different state. I had done everything that I felt like, you know, was quote unquote, like right in the relationship. And then when he decided we weren't going to be together, I lost it. I had a lot of really, really big feelings about it. And a lot of them were anger. And I realize now looking back, I wasn't really angry at him. I was really angry at myself for allowing myself to get so far and so deeply ingrained in his health, wealth, and well-being that I really didn't think about myself at all. And so when we transitioned and broke up, we were cohabiting. So we had to, you know, I had to find a different place. I had to go to different places. And not only that, but we also worked together. So that became a whole slew and a whole mess of just trying to understand how I could, you know, feel all these big feelings, but also still be professional, but also still really exist within the timeline of understanding that he and I, you know, we were on the same timeline, the same track. And then the next day, we were on completely separate timelines. So that's kind of what I wanted to chat about in today's episodes and kind of get any, you know, insight out to listeners and kind of give them a, I've been there, done that, bought the t-shirt, and maybe we'll be there again. I am happily married, but you know, it did take me a lot of time to really understand who I was without this person and why I had made those decisions. You know, I think, you know, when we come out of a breakup, we think so much and so badly about the other person that it's hard for us to kind of self-reflect because we do need that human moment where we're really mad. And that's completely human and fine. But I think once I kind of was able to move out of that space of anger, it became such a place of reflection and a genuine gift of really saying, okay, you know, this is not the person that I wanted to be. I never wanted to do, you know, all of these things that I've done in order to prioritize this person's health. And now I need to make sure I don't make those same mistakes again. So, you know, here we are.
You know, it's really hard when you go through a breakup. There are so many different emotions that go on. And so many people, you know, when we come out of breakups, we're so hurt emotionally. Mm-hmm. And it's hard, you know, it's like open wounds. And a lot of times it leaves a lot of scar tissue damage too, you know. And, you know, when you've been with someone for so long and you develop this lifestyle, you know, and then all of a sudden you break up, you're starting from scratch again, basically. And that's hard. You know, you need to really start your life all over again. And, you know, emotionally, that's very overwhelming, stressfully. And then you have to figure out, okay, you know, I came from this relationship. It didn't work out the way we planned. Now I have to move on. But I've been so used to being in this relationship, acting a certain way, being dependent on this and used to this, you know, these certain routines. Now I got to create a whole new me, a whole new life, you know, and then, you know, trying to find a place or trying to, you know, there's so many things to consider. You know, how did you break it up where you were able to, like, you know, healthy wise, be able to, like, step by step, get to that point where, you know, you started to rebuild? Because that's really overwhelming. And at the same time, you're no longer, you know, a couple. So who are you? You know, so there's a lot of things here to discuss that, you know, a lot of people go through.
So the first thing that I did was I allowed myself to be as messy as I wanted to. And I know that's probably not the advice that everyone wants to hear. I knew the value that I brought to my relationship. You know, I knew the sacrifices that I made in order to make sure that this person was happy, healthy, and fed and doing all these things. And so I allowed myself to be angry, and probably for the first time in a long time in my life at that time, I allowed myself to be mad, to the point where, you know, I was writing angry letters. I was sending angry texts. That's not something I would advise, but sometimes, I always say I am to my core. I'm a little bit of a petty person, and I know that about myself, and it's something I reflect on a lot. And I allowed myself to be like a little bit petty in both my letters and my angry text messages and all of that stuff, but I didn't allow myself to stay there. And so I think that's the big distinctive thing. I allowed myself to be angry, and I was like, I'm going to just let myself be angry and all this stuff. But there was a certain point about like 2 or 3 months later where I kind of said, okay, I need to step out of this place. This isn't healthy. You know, they always say, you know, being angry is like drinking poison to hurt somebody else, but you're drinking your own poison.
Yeah.
And I definitely felt that. Like, I could feel it in my soul. I could feel it in my body. I could feel it throughout all these things. And so I really, once I had allowed myself to move through that anger, I then had that reflective question of like, oh my God, who am I now? Because, you know, I had just retired from softball. I had gone through an identity crisis with that. I had really tried hard to define myself around my partner. So I pivoted. Instead of looking inward, I looked outward and I defined myself around our relationship, he and I. And then when that relationship was no longer a thing, it was a secondary moment of really saying, okay, this is a really unique opportunity that I get to say, like, this is what I want to do. And so at that point, about 3 months later, when I had kind of processed through the anger, I sat down with my journal and I wrote out the ideal partner. And I said, you know, he's going to look like this. He's going to do these things. He's going to do all this stuff. Like, this is everything. And I just like remember sitting and really like picturing this person. And it was the trippiest thing ever. About 6 months later, when I would meet my now husband getting off a bus at the camp that I worked at. And he met all of those requirements. He looked how I said I wanted to look. He talked how I wanted to look. Like, it was the wildest thing that I've ever kind of thought about. And you can call it whatever you want, like manifesting, prayers, anything else. But I really think the universe and everyone noticed how I had taken the 6 months to really reflect and say, like, okay, so now I'm this person. I do these things. I go to the gym. I go to therapy. I, you know, am interested in going to travel and do all these things. I, instead of we. And I think that, you know, that was a moment where it was really, really unique. And I did get the benefits and I did get that immediate kind of feedback, you know, 6 months turnaround for really sitting down and reflecting. That's really short. So I think it was really cool. But in addition to writing all of those stuff, that stuff down, every time I was angry, I stopped texting. I blocked everybody in my life that was close to this person. I stopped, you know, my friends at the time were all, we were all, we shared friends. And so I had to basically sit down and say, like, I don't want you to pick sides. I don't want you to say, like, oh, I can't hang out with her because I hung out with him earlier in the day. And I said, like, I don't want that. I just want him to not be a topic of our conversations, because I need some separation of some church and state. Like, I need a little bit of all of this stuff. And so, you know, along with, like, right, every time I was angry, I would write it down. Mm-hmm. And I would burn the paper and I would say, okay, we're good. And a lot of times it was a reoccurring theme. Like, I was just so frustrated that I didn't get the benefits of the investment that I had, right? And we'll be frank and honest. And I've been there and done that thing. So, you know, it was really a time for me to reflect. And it was such a gift to reflect and have the environment that I did, where I was able to just sit in it. And I don't think a lot of people are able to, because, you know, maybe they're working so much or doing everything else. At this time, I had a part-time job and was also going to school, so I had a little bit of a benefit. But, you know, it was this moment of just like, okay, so how can I fix me? How can it be me instead of we? And I kept writing that in my journal over and over again, me versus we. And so now I am interested in reading. I'm interested in going to the gym and all that stuff. And so that separation, just the from I to we, was such a big flip. And so that was really, really important to me to kind of bring in.
I think that's so important because, you know, you took some time out to give yourself a little self-love. And a lot of people don't do that. They, you know, they mourn and they focus on the breakup, but then they don't take time out to take a step back and fill their body and fill their mind with what it really needs. And the fact that you were able to, like, let go of the we and make it I, that's not being selfish. Some people feel guilty or they feel shameful to do that, but it's not. It's healthy, because how can you move on and become a better person, find your identity, and start creating a new life for yourself if you don't take time out to give yourself a little self-love and figure out who you really are as a person?
Yeah, that was so important to me, taking that time and just saying, like, all right, like, what do I like? What do I not like? What did I do? Because then oftentimes in relationships, we always do this, right? Like, what did I do? Because he was interested in it, but I really had absolutely no interest in. And I would, like, go to the point where I would, like, write it down and I'd be like, God, like, 75% of the things we used to do were all things that he wanted to do. And, you know, like, what would I fill my time with 75% of what we did? And so, like, that was a really, really interesting thing. The other thing I also did was, like, I needed to travel. That was something that, like, really helped me kind of put my anxiety at rest, but also kind of having something to look forward to. So I started scheduling, like, trips to go see my friends and really low cost things. But, like, I was just trying to connect with people that weren't enmeshed within the environment that I was, and seeing other people's perspectives, because they weren't, you know, there every day, they weren't able to see all this stuff. It was really important for me. And so, you know, that the community of pulling people in and being like, hey, I need a little bit of help, or hey, I just want to come visit because I need some time. And, like, people were amazing and able to do that. And so I also really asked for help. I was also really articulate and being like, I need, like, a weekend away from this town, because everybody here knows me and everybody here knows him. And, like, it's too much. Let me get out of here. So that was really important as well.
And I think it's great that you were able to, like, really write down your interests, figure out who you are as a person. And then, you know, and then take time out for yourself. And, you know, it's, you know, so many people, I think one of the biggest problems that I see is that so many people are doing everything for their partner. Mm-hmm. And they do so much for their partner that they're not doing anything for themselves, and they lose sight of who they are. You know, it's like, you know, they've been pleasing their spouse or pleasing their partner the whole entire time. And then, you know, if you say to them, who are you as a person? You know, if they really thought about it, I guarantee you so many people didn't know how to answer me, because the whole time they were pleasing that other person they never took time out to find out who the real person was, who they are, you know, what they really like, what they really want in life, you know, because they were always trying to please the other person. And then, you know, and then if kids came in the picture or grandkids came in the picture, it was about the partner. Then it was about the kids. Then it was about the grandkids. And if you took all that away, who are you? They couldn't answer you because that's what they centered their whole life around. But how much, you know, if you don't know who you are as a person, how much inner happiness can you could be? You know, you don't, you're living a life to please others, but you really, you're not going to be happy inside because you really, you have to really focus on who you are. Take time out to, you know your identity and know who you are and manifest in that. Because once you feel good about yourself and you know who you are as a person, you really start to shine. And then people notice that. And
David found a pension that his staff would love. He chose NatWest Cushion because it has a fantastic app that is easy to use. Everyone feels good, except David. He is ecstatic. Take a little more action with a NatWest Cushion workplace pension. Tomorrow begins today. Search NatWest Cushion. Capital at risk.
I think that also boosts your self-esteem up. It makes you a better person. And you still could love your partner. You still could have a healthy, you know, family. But, you know, you really have to know who you are as a person, because that's the foundation of you. You know, you're not here to be a pleaser and to consistently, you know, do what the other person in your life wants you to do. You have to do what you want to do also. It's not fair, you know.
Yeah, 100%. That is literally my core, and that's my whole, you know, my whole idea about relationships with anything. And I think I see it quite a bit with, you know, not only people who are going through a breakup, but mothers who are new mothers. I have a lot of friends that are new mothers, and they are experiencing and just watching themselves, you know, prioritize this person, the baby, over everything. And yes, that is 100% valid. And, you know, those babies' needs need to be met, but they don't take the time, and I'm not seeing them take the time to kind of have some separation or have anything else. And so, you know, I'm always that friend, and I don't have any children of my own yet, but I'm always that friend that's like, hey, like, do you want to go out and do you want to do anything? Like, I'll take the baby, you know, all this stuff. And so I think, you know, the relationship and the identity crisis that comes with it, it's so multi-layered, and it applies across every relationship we have. You know, there are many people who went home for the holidays and they hung out with their family members who haven't seen them since the last holidays. They've suddenly got to reintroduce themselves and be like, yeah, so I don't work at that place anymore. I don't do those things or anything like that. Like, this is what I'm really interested in now. And so those relationships, in addition to, like, you know, breakups and being a parent, those relationships also require so much maintenance when you're doing and exploring identity. And I think that's something that's really been very interesting for me to kind of reflect on as someone who does what I do with dealing with people who work through identity crisis, is how you communicate those interests and how you communicate who you are. It really depends on the relationships you have, and those relationships can both add and hinder to those things. And so I think that's a really interesting point that you brought up as well.
And I think something else that I was thinking about when you were talking right now, and you're talking about relationships, is that when you're so involved in, let's say, work or other things that are going on in your life, and you have a relationship going on, but you're not communicating, you're not bonding, because you're doing your thing and the other person's doing their thing, and it might be work and it might be other commitments that you've made, you know, you could easily slowly start to drift apart and lose sight of who the other person is. You think you know who the other person is, but over time, especially if you start to focus on other things and you don't focus on each other, you change as a person. And then the other person doesn't realize who that person is. They think they do, but then that, like, those interests, those common denominators are now different. And you start to separate because you're no longer those people that you were when you first met. How do you think about that?
I definitely see that too. And both my experience and just watching, you know, many people that are throughout this journey. You know, I worked with a client that had was a caregiver for her mother who was struggling with mental illness, and she repeatedly had to like basically almost reintroduce herself to her mother and be like, "Hey, like, you know, this time, like, I haven't seen you in 3 months, but like, here's what's new. I quit my job and now I'm doing this, or I'm volunteering or anything else." And the maintenance of doing that and constantly being like, "Hey, like, you know, I don't really like that anymore. I changed my hair, or I did this or any of that." You know, I think a lot of times, you know, especially with both romantic and familial relationships, we always have to communicate so explicitly on who we are and what we kind of stand for that it kind of almost becomes exhausting. You know, later in life, now that I'm older, I've become like, I only have a couple friends. And I've realized that the reason is because of the maintenance of this. As I'm, you know, expanding, as I am, you know, exploring different business opportunities, as I'm moving away from the person that I was when I was, you know, in college, high school, or even younger, I'm expanding. And so it's hard to communicate and maintain that maintenance of constantly being like, "So I was really interested last year in crocheting, but this year I really don't like that. I've realized that, you know, it hurts my hand and that's not really what I'm into," which I love crocheting, by the way, never, never bashing crocheting. But like, I think it's just, you know, that maintenance and all of that and coming together and that explicit communication with those relationships, whether it's, you know, romantic, familial, or anything else, it's really, really important. And how you do that is entirely your choice. I know for me, when I, you know, was dealing with people who knew me through my ex, I was constantly saying to them, like, "Please don't feel like you need to report back to him. Please don't feel like you need to tell me anything about him. I know he's fine. I'm good. Like, I know he's good. And we're going to get through this. Like, everything's okay." And so I think, you know, when you kind of have to do that, that is adds a layer of exhaustion to the identity crisis that like a lot of people don't acknowledge. And so I'm super excited that you brought it up because, you know, I think a lot of people just like assume one day you wake up and you're like, "I'm going to be a whole new person and I'm going to do all these new things and I'm going to wake up at 5 a.m. and I'm going to do all this stuff." When in reality, those are really, really small bite-sized changes that if you're not constantly in communication with someone about being like, "Hey, like, I'm going to start waking up at 5 a.m. and do a wonderful like hypnotherapy thing," that doesn't, you know, that always is so hard when you have somebody who pops in and you don't have that type of explicit constant communication. And so I think that's a really, really interesting point.
Yeah, you know, a lot of times too is like we change over time, you know, and I noticed even as I got older, you know, things that I really like to do, or the way I approach things, even the way I talked, you know, was different as I got older. You know, I was more laid back and passive. And as I got older, I voiced my opinion more. And, you know, and things that I used to like to do, my interest changed. And so I had, like you were mentioning before, now you only have a handful of friends. You know, I had a large group of friends, but we started, you know, me personally, I started changing. And so then you have less things in common with a lot of people, and that's okay. You know, people sometimes are meant to be in your life for a certain period of time, and then you move on. And that's what people have to realize. Don't take it to heart. Don't, you know, don't beat yourself up over the head over it, because, you know, sometimes people are just meant to be in your life for just a certain period. You learn from each other, you grow, and then you move on, and it's okay. It's a normal part of life. Just because you're with someone doesn't mean that you have to be with that person the rest of your life. If you do break up or the relationship ends, you know, it's you need to move on, heal those wounds, you know, get over those angry emotions like you were saying. And then focus on the future, you know, and I think just focusing on the present to heal yourself, and then creating, you know, idea of who you are, and then thinking about, where do I want to go in life? Like you said, you made a list of what kind of guy you wanted to be with. And that's so funny, because after my big breakup, I created a list in my head of the perfect guy that I wanted to be with. And I ended up, when I got married, he fit all the qualifications of that make-believe person I put in my head, you know, and it's like, sometimes it is like the universe just listens and, you know, and some, you know, I always say, ask the universe and the universe shall answer. And I think, you know, sometimes it's like, you know, it's like what you put out there, you know, and you have to really think about what you really want. Who's that person in your life that you really want to be with, you know, and don't always like settle. Because I see so many people, you know, they don't think they're worthy enough and they just settle, you know, don't settle. What type of person would you love to be with? And that's why it's so important to connect with your identity, because once you know who you are, you know exactly what you want. You'll know exactly what kind of guy you want or girl you want. You'll know exactly what you want from life. It's figuring out who you are as a person, figuring out that identity, I think.
Yeah, I totally agree. You know, sitting with that person and being the person that's also changed so much. It may sound to, you know, anybody who's listening, like, we're just saying like, oh, just sit down and write things down and you'll be fine. Yeah. And that's totally not, you know, that's totally not the message. And I think for me, it's just sitting with yourself and having those really like, uncomfortable, like conversations. Where you're like, oh gosh, like, I don't really want to go hang out with that friend because I know that they are, you know, going to talk to me about things that happened 3 years ago. And like, it doesn't really matter to me anymore and all that stuff. And so I think, you know, start when you're thinking about redefining your identity after a friendship has come to an end, a romantic relationship, or even a family relationship has come to an end. I think starting where it feels the most a little bit uncomfortable to the point where you feel like, ooh, like, how is this going to work? And having those moments of complete clarity, like, absolutely not. This is not what I want. You know, a lot of people in my life last year said to me, if it's not a heck yes, it's a heck no. And I kind of think that that really applies to, you know, when we are talking about relationships and when we're talking about redefining and understanding that identity crisis that can come after that. Is, you know, okay, things have changed and what's a heck yes and what's a heck no. So I think moving forward, as you are navigating whatever, you know, identity crisis you may be as you're redefining yourself after a relationship has come to an end, really take those words into mind. You know, if it's not a heck yes, it's a heck no. And you may be really confused about what a heck no feels like. Because you may honestly just have been saying heck no to everything and being like, yeah. And so that might be something that, you know, when we talk about settling, I think that's something that really stuck out to me is oftentimes in my previous relationship, I was doing a lot of stuff that felt like heck no. And I was like, sure, it'll be great. I would love to do that. I'd love to, you know, drive 7 hours to go to a football game when I had absolutely no interest in it. Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But I think that that's really important as we move forward and you really are trying to process through that. So I think it's a really, really cool topic that we brought up and kind of have been chatting about. And I'm really excited to see what people think of this.
Yeah, so am I, because I really think that people have to, you know, really figure out who they are. And, you know, when a relationship, you know, comes to an end, you know, you have to really think about, you know, okay, this relationship has come to an end, but then look at who you are as a person and what you really want. Because so many times I've done that too, especially I think as we were younger too, some people continue to do it the rest of their lives, but it's like, yeah, I'll do that, you know, and you really don't want to, you know, you have to really be able to, you know, break through that fear of speaking your mind, because it's so important to voice who you are as a person and let people know. Because you know what's the worst thing that's going to happen? If a person doesn't like who you are, they're not going to be with you. But if a, you know, but if you don't let that person know who you are, they're not going to be able to know if you're the right person, and vice versa. You know, you don't want to be with people that, you know, are not similar to you with the same interests. And if you keep saying, yeah, I'll do that, or okay, you know, I like that too, and you really don't like it, but you're trying to, you know, just be the laid back person who, you know, trying to make everybody happy. The one thing that is not, the one person that's not happy is you. So really, where is that going? You could have lots of friends, but and you could have and you could be in relationships and you can have family members and you can be interacting with them. But if you're not showing them who you are as a person, you don't really know if you're the right fit, with that, and sometimes when you're not the right fit, you either have to break it off or just keep your distance or let them know who you are and let them decide if they want to be with you or and it might even you might even stay in the relationship, but the relationship might change. There might be alterations and you might not it might feel awkward at first because you're not, you're not it's not the same relationship you're used to. But sometimes you can save relationships, like family members or friends, and sometimes it's just you realize that you're become so different that it's time to move on, and that's okay too.
I love that. That's totally my philosophy as well. You can totally meet someone in the middle that's willing to meet in the middle, but there's also times where I think a break or, taking time away is 100%, valid and real. And I know many people, I've had several friends that I've had, not friendship breakups in the sense like, I told them like, absolutely not, I'll never speak to you again. But friends that I've kind of fallen off. And then, years later, I will reconnect with them, have the maintenance conversation of like, hey, this is what I'm doing now. This is all this stuff. But I think it's such a cool opportunity to have those really frank and really cool conversations and say like, I don't really like that anymore, or I'm not dating that person anymore because of this and that. And like, I think that's a really, really unique opportunity to find your people. And that's 100% what happened with me, where, I basically felt like I was at ground zero. I had my friends that are my forever friends, but all of the people that I had around me were people that I'd known for 3, 4 years. And I'd fallen completely out of contact with because I had, broken up with my ex. So I think it's a really, really fun opportunity to kind of start from the bottom. And I think, it's hard because I'm talking about this like with a big smile on my face and saying, what a blessing, what an opportunity, what all this stuff. But I also remember and understand how it feels to be on the other side and to feel like, oh my gosh, why is this happening to me? And I think that's, I think that's one of the beauties of being able to have such a reflection and an understanding of identity crises is to be able to understand the really unique opportunity that's presented to you. Being able to say like, all right, well, now I need to connect with all new people because I can't connect with the people that I had with before. Sounds incredibly daunting, but when you also look on it at it at the other side of it, it sounds so cool because who many people get the opportunity to redefine themselves, but not many people get the opportunity to redefine their friends and their relationships and say, oh my gosh, like now I have the coolest people that I've called into, my world. And I've started from ground, like from nothing with many friendships and have created incredible, like communities of people that have stuck with me and done everything else. And I know eventually maybe it will come to the time where those people shift and change, but I'm so grateful for the opportunity to get to know these people. And I wouldn't have known them if I had, stayed in that relationship or stayed with that friendship or anything else. So keep that in mind as you're navigating through this identity crisis and whatever kind of relationship breakup you're going through.
I think you made it like such a great point. A lot of times we look at it as, oh my God, I can't do this. It's too scary. I don't, how will I get through it? Or especially like later on in life, sometimes when you get older, you get so used to being in a certain, scenario that you're like, oh my God, I can't do it. I'm too old and da 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 da. But no matter what age you are, it's okay. Don't look at it as a negative thing. Like, oh my God, it's a breakup. Think of it as, like you said, like a new beginning. One relationship didn't work, you changed, the other person changed, You know, you're not meant to be together anymore, and that's okay. You know, you become two different people. And, you know, as time went on, you just separated and became your own people. And now you don't have that same bond or that same love or that same connection. But now you have the opportunity to go out there and build a whole new life for yourself, a life that will make you happier. And then you can meet the people or the person in your life that's going to really bring you that true happiness that you deserve. Because I think that's the thing. People need to realize that they deserve to be happy. Don't settle. You know, there's no reason to settle. Be happy. You know, we have, you know, supposedly we have one life on this planet that I know of. Let's make the most of it. And if you're in a relationship and you're not happy and it's not working and you see the separation, you see the changes, you're no longer with have the same interests, maybe it's time to just, you know, to get that courage to move on. Because even though it's going to be very hurtful, you're going to go through a lot of anger, you know, frustration, maybe depression, you know, but learn how to get out of it, you know, in a positive way. And figure and focus on your new beginning. Focus on those positive things that can enter your life and how you can make such a new, beautiful life for yourself. And, you know, and that might help give you the strength to, you know, to want to move forward, I think.
Yeah, I love that. That's 100. That's my entire mentality when it comes to a new relationship and a new identity, because, you know, I spent 2 years of my life feeling like, oh my God, this is too hard. This is too anything. And how do I do this? And how do I start? And what do I do? And it was what I felt, you know, messy and all this stuff. And I didn't want it to be messy. I wanted it to be like, I go from step one to step two to step three. And that's really not how it kind of worked for me. I did step one and 20 at the same time, and then came down to do step five, and then did step 30. And all those things. And so I think that that's, you know, it's a really unique opportunity to never settle, because I think, you know, I myself am never going to settle for myself. I think I'm always going to be the person that's going to evolve, that's going to push, that's going to say like, okay, so I did that. Like, I hate using the words level up, but I want to like really figure out what my next steps are and how I continue to explore this, you know, where we are. And I think that that's a really unique opportunity to just be able to sit and say, like, I've noticed this, I've really, you know, reflected on this, and I do want to either, you know, I don't want to settle. And this is how I not settle by, you know, prioritizing myself, making sure I don't lose myself along the way. And, you know, taking those moments of reflection is so incredibly important. So I love that you brought that up.
And I think it's okay too, to like, you know, go and have a coach to talk to, or have a therapist to talk to, because, you know, there was a point in my life, so many things happened, so many changes occurred, and I lost my identity for a while. And I wasn't sure who I was anymore, you know, and, you know, it took time. And, you know, and when I was, you know, talking to somebody, you know, a lot of repressed emotions came up that I didn't even know I had, you know, but once I was able to connect with those emotions and I was able to heal those emotions, you know, I was able to figure out who I was again and what I really wanted in life and what, you know, direction I needed to head in. And, you know, it's okay to reach out for support. It's so, you know, and I always suggest reaching out to like a coach or a therapist, because you get an unbiased opinion. Because sometimes it's very hard to talk to your friends and family, because they have their own opinions and they think they know you, but sometimes they don't. And then sometimes it's nice to just get someone who's out of the box, who doesn't know you, and is just listening to you and can kind of guide you along the way.
Yeah, I 100% agree with that as well. You know, when I broke up with my ex, my whole family thought, you know, one thing, and they thought that I was going to be X, Y, and Z, and I was going to react to this way and all this stuff. And I did not react any way that they thought. And so they were kind of taken aback by that. And it became really hard to communicate with them, because they always assumed that they knew the end answer, or what I was going to say. Or I would call them up and be like, oh my gosh, I'm so frustrated, he did this. And they'd be like, oh, he did. And like, before I could even say what he did, they would assume they knew. Yeah. And so it became a really, really hard conversation, because, you know, you're going to family and friends asking for, you know, I just want to talk. I just want to talk. And that's ultimately not what our friends and family are for. And so, you know, moving to a coach and a therapist, I did the same thing. I did both a coach and a therapist. And it was so freeing to be able to be like, here's the story, here's the context, here's all this stuff. And for them to be able to be like, oh, well, you know, how do you feel about that? And that was like completely a different conversation than what I was having with my friends and family at the time. So, you know, I totally agree. That is definitely something I would be 100% behind as well.
Yeah. You know, I think it's so beneficial when you have someone to talk to and someone that could help you, you know, get those repressed emotions out. Now, if you had to really think about everything we talked about today, are there some takeaways and some advice you'd like to give our audience? Because we talked about a lot of great things about breakups and finding your identity after a breakup and really learn how to move forward in life and make sure we don't get stuck, you know, and getting over those negative emotions, healing those negative emotions, and then learn how to move forward. And you gave a lot of great advice and answers to all those questions. So if you had to really sum up today's conversation, is there a certain takeaways you'd like the audience to remember that you feel is really important?
Yeah, I think anyone who's going through a breakup needs to acknowledge that they're also going through an identity crisis. So in my line of work, I call this an energetic death, which is the end of an experience. And this is the grief you feel after an experience has come to an end. So while you're really, really mourning the relationship that you had with the person, there's a secondary thing that we often don't talk about, which is energetic death. And that's the energetic death of your identity that was based on being with this person. And so when we acknowledge that, and we're able to put a label on it and kind of, you know, quote unquote, diagnose it. I'm not a doctor by any means. Don't take my medical advice. Okay. but when we're able to say, you know, this is an energetic death. I'm grieving the experience of being with this person and all this stuff. It then makes it kind of a much more contextualized conversation. So we're able to kind of, once we're able to label something, it sounds really silly, but it does really make it really beneficial for us. And so when we acknowledge that we're going through an identity crisis or an energetic death, and, you know, we're mourning and grieving the relationship that we were in, there's many different things that will come up for you. And if I could tell you anything, if I could go back and talk to that person that was going through the breakup that I spoke about on this call, all I would say is that all feelings are valid. And the only thing that I would say to myself, because I did allow myself to get a little stuck, is that you can't stay in those feelings forever. And so you have to make the small choices of saying like, okay, I was really angry for a really long time. This has been a long time. I need to kind of move past this. And having that reflection piece is really hard, but it's really important. So if you can give yourself any grace to feel all the feels, but to not stay there forever, it's really important to do that. And so those would be just my quick takeaways for anyone who's going through processing their identity crisis after a relationship has come to an end.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's really important that we talk about this stuff and really important that we normalize, you know, grieving the person we were with that person and also grieving that relationship. And so that grief is multi-layered. It could be days, it could be weeks, it could be months, it could be years. And, you know, I think the other thing that I would also say is that I don't ever feel like I'm healed, quote unquote, right? Like I use air quotes when it comes to that. I feel, you know, I feel sadness for the relationship that came to an end many times often. And I think it's really important that we acknowledge that there's never going to be like a finish line on this, right? There's never a finish line on any form of grief we have when we talk about experiences, because our experiences are lived and they stay with us until we, you know, are no longer here. And so those experiences are going to pop up. You know, times where you talk about them are going to pop up. But the distance between the feelings that you feel immediately after a relationship comes to an end and you have that identity crisis and where you are, you know, in a year is really great. And so, you know, it hurts, but you're able to put some distance between that pain and you're able to process as you go. And so it's really important that we kind of acknowledge that it will take some time, but this is not forever. And, you know, you have the power to make it not forever, regardless of any of the experiences that are coming to an end. And I think that's beautiful.
Yeah. Those are great takeaways, you know, and it's so true. And, you know, I love that you mentioned all these different, you know, great techniques that people could apply to their lives to help them get through a breakup, you know, and to find your identity after a breakup, because your whole life changes after a breakup. And, you know, whether it's with a boyfriend or a girlfriend or a partner or a family member or a friend, when you go through something, and it's very emotional when you go through any type of breakup, and it's learning how to cope with those feelings that you're going through, not get stuck, and learn how to move ahead. And I think, like we said, focus on positive, which is you're starting a new beginning, whether it's a relationship or whether it's a friendship with somebody, or just like, you know, we said, a family member. You know, things will change, and focus on what's next, you know, and it's okay, I think, to separate yourself from people. You know, sometimes you have to separate yourself from people for a while. Sometimes it could be a short period, but sometimes it could be permanent. But sometimes, you know, people aren't always meant to be in our lives, or not as frequent, you know, and that's okay too. And, you know, I think what you brought up is great. Now, if people, can you tell people about the different services that you have and where they can contact you?
Yeah. So if you want to find me on both Instagram or TikTok, my username is The Retired Athlete Coach. I also have a website, which is called TheEnergeticDeathCoach.com. And I do blogs, long form content on both TikTok and my website. Sorry, I forgot the word for website. Don't tell anyone. And my services. So in probably February, I'm opening up one-on-one for anyone who's experiencing an identity crisis, that it can be found at TheEnergeticDeathCoach.com. There's a live link button that will take you to a 30-minute consultation call with me. We'll talk kind of about what grief you're experiencing, what identity crisis you may be experiencing, and what coaching looks like for me. I am a teacher, trained teacher, so my coaching always comes with a little bit of homework, a lot of journaling, and a lot of discussions with me about the grief you may be experiencing, because I want to hold space for all the people who have gone through the things that I've gone through and give context to people with my experiences. You know, I am relatively young, but I've lived a lot of different lives and I have a lot of things that I can bring and value to everything. So those are the three places you can find me. The Retired Athlete, Athlete Coach, on both TikTok and Instagram, and TheEnergeticDeathCoach.com on my website. And I'd love to see you guys there.
Thank you so much, Kelsey. This has been an amazing podcast. I love that you brought this up, because, you know, especially now, because we're recording this and it's almost Valentine's Day shortly, you know, it's coming, it's around the block. You know, people are going to go through different emotions when it comes to love. They're going to think about people in their lives. And, you know, sometimes the old hurt can come back and, you know, haunt us. And we have to learn, you know, if people aren't in our lives that used to be in our lives, it's okay, because like we had mentioned, sometimes it's just meant to be, you know, and if it happens where a breakup occurs, then obviously there was a reason for it. And, you know, it's better to be in a healthy relationship than to be staggering in an unhealthy relationship, which many people do. They just don't want to let go, or they feel codependent and they just don't want to let go. And it's okay to let go. Sometimes it's better. So it's like, you know, my last word before we go is focus on the positive. If you go through a breakup, focus on your new beginning. Focus on finding that better life, that better you. Figure out who you are. You know, now one part of your life is gone, and figure out who you are today, who you want to be, and where do you want to be in the next 6 months, 12 months, a year from now, 2 years from now, whatever the case may be. But figure out who you are as a person, because once you figure out who you are as a person, just like Kelsey was saying, your whole life will change. You will have such a strong, resilient personality with a high self-esteem, and you'll know exactly what you want from life. But never self-doubt yourself, I feel. You know, so that's the one thing we all tend to do. We're all victims of it. We sometimes tend to self-doubt ourselves. Find your identity, believe in yourself and go for it, I think. But Kelsey, this has been amazing. Thank you so much for coming on the show. Kelsey is going to be back because she does have her own podcast with us. And she's going to talk about, in our next episode, she wants to talk about caretaking and caring for others and how sometimes when we care for others, we could lose our own identity because we focus so much on the other person. So look out for her next podcast because she's going to really be touching a lot of important topics because in life, we tend to care for others, you know, and we go through, you know, a lot of people are caretakers and a lot of people, you know, spend time caring for others. And sometimes we lose our identity and we lose who we are because we focus so much on the other person. So I can't wait till you come back and you start talking about that and hear all the great advice you have to share. So thank you so much, Kelsey. I'm going to be looking out for that podcast when you come back on the show because I'm really excited to hear what you have to say. Everybody, keep your eyes open because Kelsey's going to be back soon and she's going to be telling us all about different ways to find your identity after you've cared for someone for so long and you stop focusing on yourself.
Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, you're so welcome. You have a great day.
You too.
Hi, this is Stacy from The Advisor, and today I'm very excited because we have a very special guest. This is Kelsey Gannett. If